Welcome back to American Soundways. I talked recently with Sean Rigg, a founding member of the Boogie Hustlers, about who and what influenced their sound and the popularity of their music.
I always really wanted to combine jazz, soul, R&B, and hip-hop together, because they have all been such big influences on me. And when I had gotten together with our singer, Vince Wiley, and the combined interest in music, and we've kind of come up collectively of a sound. Just through our own writing process, too, also, we found our sound, and we've tried to incorporate elements of all those things, and that's kind of how we got our sound. You know, the whole community as a whole right now, it seems like a lot of us are friends, and a lot of the kids who I am influenced by were young jazz musicians who are really trying to push the envelope and keep jazz alive and with young musicians and audiences. It's an amazing, amazing art form that so much was inspired from hip-hop and just a lot of modern music today. So we do feel like our music has a place in the world. And we do, have a really positive energy, and it's a really tight group of guys on stage, and we really love what we do, and we're inspired to do it on a daily basis.
Let's listen to the song Hit It Runnin' by the Boogie Hustlers on American Soundways.
Better time.
Other celebrated musicians from the Pittsburgh area include composer Henry Mancini, classical pianist Byron Janis, dreamy baritone Perry Como, and singer, actress, and famous mom Shirley Jones.
Hello world, hear the song that we're singing. Come on, get happy. A whole lot of loving is what we'll be bringing. We'll make you happy. We'll make you happy. We'll make you happy.
And we can't forget 60s crooner Bobby Vinton, whose Blue Velvet achieved a whole new reference thanks to David Lynch's 1986 dark and erotic film of the same name.
She wore blue velvet, bluer than velvet was the night, softer than satin was the light from the stars. She wore blue.
Pittsburgh was also home to the first community-sponsored educational television station in America, WQED. And in 1967, America first saw, fell in love with, and started growing up with Mr. Rogers.
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? It's a neighborly day in this beauty.
Pittsburgh's contribution to music goes well beyond jazz and crooners. If you look hard enough, you'll find a twangier side as well. In the 30s, 40s, and 50s, country western musician Thomas Hoyt Bryant, better known as Slim Bryant, was making some noise. Writing songs, playing in bands, and even backing up the legendary singing brakeman Jimmy Rogers back in 1932.
I had a home out in Texas, down where the blue bonnets grew. I had the kindest old mother. How happy we were, just we two.
Slim Bryant enjoyed a career playing radio, television, and stage, and is thought to be the last surviving musician to have recorded with Jimmy Rogers. Pittsburgh has always been a second home to some of Southern Rock's best, from Lynyrd Skynyrd to the Charlie Daniels Band. And among Pittsburgh's many contributions to the country music world is the Corbin Hanner Band. Founders and current songwriters Bob Corbin and Jim Hanner continue to pen songs for some of country music's royalty, including Hank Williams Jr., Mel Tillis, and the Marshall Tucker Band. But currently, it's the Poverty Neck Hillbillies that are blazing the trail for the next generation of country music fans. And not coincidentally, they're produced and managed by Bob Corbin.
Well, I might not be Mr. Right, but I'm Mr. Right Now.
Another Pittsburgh band, Good Brother Earl, cites influences like Ben Harper, Pearl Jam, and Big Head Todd. They play the blues, headbang, or can lay into a nice long jam. Here's 6 o'clock news from their CD Perfect Tragedy on American Soundways.
What you know you can't afford.
Hands on me. You can't go running through the woods with a dead man's hand.
During the 50s and early 60s, like a lot of major cities across the U.S., Pittsburgh was pounding out its share of doo-wop. While some were crooning to the safe sounds of local boy Perry Como, others were twisting and grinding to Pittsburgh's own Marcells, who would knock Elvis Presley out of the number one spot on the pop and R&B chart with their classic cover. Big local names like the Dell Vikings and the Elvinos graced the airwaves, crisscrossing the musical racial boundaries that were slowly beginning to crumble. Pittsburgh's own Skyliners had a huge hit with Since I Don't Have You. The Skyliners were featured on American Bandstand on Friday, February 13, 1959. By March, Since I Don't Have You hit the road out of Pittsburgh and was rapidly climbing the national charts. Some critics cite Since I Don't Have You to be the song that merged the white and black sound. In fact, the Skyliners were one of the first white groups to play the Apollo Theater in Harlem. Story has it, the people that booked the bands thought they were black. And they were the first group to hit number one on the Cashbox R&B charts.
Since I don't have you.
The 60s ushered in a host of new bands and new sounds, including hitmaker Lou Christie, the DJs, and the Swamp Rats. One of the biggest of the 60s bands were the Vogues, who made 8 trips in all to the top 40. 1965 was their first break into the top 5 with their hit, You're the One. Their follow-up song went to number 4 on the national charts and then was resurrected a few years ago thanks to Drew Carey.
Hey. Hey. Up every morning just to keep a job, I gotta fight my way through the hustle and mob. Sounds of the
Leading the local angst brigade is the socially and politically fueled punk rock band Anti-Flag, with their in-your-face message for positive change in the world.
The memo says we gotta work to make the facts with the false charges, pull the wool over the eyes of the filthy masses, send the people in the back for the corporate choice, pull the propaganda out using the people's voice.
Anti-Flag follows in the wake of local forefathers like Car Sickness, The Shut-Ins, and Hector in Paris. You know you're in for a ride when music critics say the White Stripes and the Strokes seem restrained in comparison to your band. Such is the case with Pittsburgh's Moody Lemon.
If Jesus Christ will knock on your door late one night, would you let him in? Would you let him in? Would you let him in? Would you say move on?
The psychedelic garage blues band originally cut its chops in Pittsburgh's Strip District, playing largely improvised blues in front of street vendor stands that were closed for the evening. When it comes to the blues, Pittsburgh's track record has been a somewhat mysterious one. Although there are many great blues artists that call Pittsburgh their home, the town doesn't seem to have benefited by the Great Migration the way that towns like Chicago, Harlem, and D.C. did. But in 1970, Robert Louis Jones, known as Bobby Jones, jumped on a bus from North Carolina and headed to Pittsburgh looking to be discovered. Producer Bill Lawrence was in the middle of a taping session when an obviously troubled receptionist pleaded for him to come out to the lobby. There, an excited and slightly inebriated Bobby Jones insisted that Bill get him into the studio right away and record him. Annoyed and anxious to get back to what he was doing, Bill stuck Bobby in a cubicle with his K guitar and turned on the tape machine. The next morning, what Bill heard made the hair stand up on the back of his neck. It was raw, and it was the real deal.
I don't want no woman. No woman mess up my mind. No, I don't. I ain't gonna let no woman
to mess up my mind.
Aware that he had stumbled on true talent, Bill booked local musician Pete Hewlett and his bandmates, Peter's Pipers, to play backup for Bobby at a local studio. Because there was already a musician by the name of Bobby Jones making his rounds in the area, Bill changed Bobby's name to Niles and recorded My South, My Blues. When we return, we'll listen to a song from that album called Welfare Blues by Niles Jones.